1-7? Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali.
That's right.
And afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoiced before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoiced when they divide the spoil. For you have burdened the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's scandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Mana. Okay, let's pray together. Lord of Lords, and we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day that you brought us together to celebrate, Lord, the greatest gift that human received, Lord. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for that you are our Savior, that you are our Lord and Master, that you are the reason for this season, Lord. I thank you for giving us hope, giving us future. Thank you, Lord, for giving us light into even if there is darkness. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit to work on all of us. I need you, Lord. I need you to speak to me and to... Lord, to speak through me. Lord, I pray for each one of us, Lord, to listen to you and to hear your voice today and to bring your light into our mind, our hearts, our soul, our spirit, Lord. And Lord, change us because of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. As James sharing his message, offering message, I just thought about something. About offering, and then I will go to my message. Normally, Rolla writes our check for the offering. So, and she writes it, and she gave it to me. Because of my English, I'm afraid to make mistakes. So instead of writing 500, I write 5,000. No, I'm just kidding. No, not this. The words. The numbers I can do. But the words, I'm afraid to make mistakes. So she writes the check. And she gives it to me and I put it in the... But when Arise goes and cash the check, it comes from my bank account, not hers. Well, we have one bank account. The idea is... We only write, she only writes the check, but it goes from my bank account. Yeah? A few weeks ago, the Munkayus wrote their check for offering, and they put it in their bench, and I was sitting behind them. I was like, shall I take it? No, I'm just kidding. they trust me so much. They left their check in the bench. I was like, if I take it and put it in the offering, who's going to be credited? Like Arise, when they send the check by the end of the year, will they send me or him? Him, because it's under his name. The idea is our money, our everything does not belong to us. Right? We are only responsible for writing the check. But it's his bank account. It's his money. It's his everything. And we're only responsible for releasing it from our hand. Amen? So when you give, for me it was like, I started to learn that. I heard it so many times. Everything you have belongs to the Lord. How many of us heard this before? Everything, we hear it over and over and over. But it's so different between hearing it and receiving it and living it. Amen? So everything belongs to the Lord. And we're only responsible for writing the check. Amen? Today's message. Today's message, as we read from Isaiah 9. And I'm a little bit, again, scared. But I'm praying for God to help me to deliver what God has for all of us. Amen? From Isaiah 9, from 1 to 7, there will no Christmas without reading this passage. Yeah, this part of the Bible, because it's like the most important proclamation in the Old Testament that we will be given a son and his name and what is he going to do? And I thought about, you know, preaching from this, and I felt, you know, I'm going to do it. I know that I didn't have enough time to prepare everything, but you know what? The Holy Spirit will deliver the message that God has for all of us. Amen? So, we're going to talk about Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. From this passage, it's wonderful to see how people sitting in the darkness, and before just most of you came, Joe asked us why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th, not in the first day of the year. And James answered. They asked and he answered. Solomon's are helping us. Anyway, so the question was why we celebrate 25th, not in the beginning of the year. And James answered that it's the darkest day of the year. And we celebrate Christmas because what's coming is light, better than what we have. And exactly this is what is the message is that we are sitting or walking in the darkness and sitting in under the shadow of the death. I remembered, most of you know that I lost a lot of weight. When I was big, I thought about my father. My father used to love certain type of food, and he was diabetic. And this food is very bad for diabetics, but he used to eat it. He loves it. He loves date and grapes. And the doctor said, no, don't eat that. It's very bad for your health. And he wouldn't give it up. And he passed away 62. Young, 62. When I was big, I used to eat very bad habit of food. Yeah? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be just like my father. I'm going to die 62. And recently, I discovered I was okay with it. I was okay to die 62. I was sitting, I knew my destiny. I knew my future, that if I continue eating that way, I'm going to die 62. My mother died 63. She made it 1 year older. If I continue this way of eating, I will die like my father and my mother. And I was okay with it. But recently, I was like, no. No, I don't want to die 62. I want to live as long as God wants me to live. So I have to change my food habit, eating habit. So I started to be careful. And now I'm not diabetic. I was pre-diabetic. I was high cholesterol. I'm not now. So it's changed. My father died also from heart disease. So I changed that. Here, people are walking in the darkness, dwelling in the death, the shadow of death. And they are okay with it. They are okay with it. They are not following the Lord. They are having idols in their life, sin, habits, bad habits, breaking God's rules, God's law. And they are okay with it. But here is the good news. It's the darkest day of the year for them. It's very dark. Very dark. Have you gone through dark places? Have you gone through hard season in your life? I was thinking, yes, all of us do. Are you okay with it? This is the problem. Are you okay with it? Are you okay sitting, dwelling in the darkness? Or you want solution? You want breakthrough? You want to break free from the darkness? And the good news is that the people are sitting in the darkness. The people are dwelling in the darkness, dwelling in the shadow of death. A great light shine on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A great light shine on them. That Jesus came to give those people hope and future. Future? Hope? Really? Do you think there is hope for me? For the situation that I'm going through, there is hope? Yes, there is hope. With Jesus, there is hope. He is light. Just invite Him. Just allow Him to come. And just refuse the place that you are sitting in. We will be given, let me read it. For unto us, hallelujah, a child is born, unto us, son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. There's a difference between child and son. Different between child and son. The child, a child, is not mature. He's not grown up. He is not responsible. He does not have any responsibility. He cannot be responsible. A child expects people to help him, like his parents or his relatives. Yeah? It's not enough to say that a child will born unto us. It's not enough. Can you imagine if Jesus came, who was born? Yeah? But he stayed a child. Do you think he can save us? No. He has to become a son. Become a son. And the son takes the responsibility. Okay. I'm talking today about inheritance. So, our inheritance in God. When a child, his father pass away, if he a child, can he receive the inheritance? No. He has to grow up. Or else they have wakil, yani. Yeah, guardian. Thank you. See, she helps me write and check and translate. It's amazing. Two in one. Three in one. She's a wife. Anyway. He needs a guardian because he's not grown up, he's not adult, he's not responsible. He needs to be a son to inherit what his father left him. Jesus is the Son of God. He is responsible. He has responsibility. Yeah, he has the government upon his shoulder, above his shoulder. Yeah, he is grown. He is making decision on himself. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna go to the cross. I'm gonna give my life to you. Hallelujah. I'm gonna lay out my life for you. So everyone will believe, will not perish, but will have eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. And he's, yeah, the government will be on his shoulder. He will be called Wonderful. Hallelujah. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Wonderful, wonderful, and wonderful Counselor, and everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I'm going to talk about everlasting Father. But let me explain how inheritance works in the old days. The inheritance works in the old days like this. In Numbers 36 from 7 to 8, I'm going to explain it. If I read it, it will be very hard. I'm going to explain it. In Numbers 36, it says that if anyone have inherited land, okay, from his father, this land should stay in the tribe. Okay? This land, this property should stay in the tribe. You cannot take this land and give it to another tribe. Even if you are in need, if you need money and you're poor, you want to sell your land, you sell it to, the priority is to sell it to one of your tribes. If you can't sell it to one of your tribes, sell it to someone else. But in Leviticus, I think, it's 25, yes, 25. It talks about the year of Jubilee, okay? It's if you sell the land, if you sell your property, you sell it until the year of Jubilee, right? Okay, so let's say the year of Jubilee is 2050. It comes every 50 years. So 2050. We are now 2017. How many years from now to the year of Jubilee? 33. So you, when you sell your land, your property, you sell it for 33 years. It will be actually 32 because the year of Jubilee, it will come back to you. Okay? So you sell it for those, it's like borrowed. You don't sell it permanently. You lend it. You give it to the people to use it for this amount of years, and then it will be back, returned back to you in the 50th year. So, for example, if this property is $50,000, worth $50,000, but because you have 32 years, so you sell it for $32,000, and so on, yeah? So it has to return to your, and actually, it's not has to return. You return to your property. I love this. It's much more powerful, you know? It's just, it's amazing powerful, because it's like, if I buy your land, and then the year of Jubilee comes, I have to return it to you. No. If I sold my land and the year of Jubilee comes, I go and take it and say, this is the year of that I will have to return to my property. Hallelujah. Do you understand this? Yes? No? You don't understand it? I'll explain it again. Okay. Year of Jubilee, everything is sold. You sold it, will return to you. You will have the ownership. You will own it back. Okay? Everything that you sold, you will own it back. It's very important to understand this because the whole message is based on this idea. Okay? Everything you sold, it will return back to you in the year of Jubilee. Don't worry about the price that I said. Okay? Don't worry about it. Because I am a son, I have inheritance. I have inheritance in the Lord. And the Lord wants me to grow up, to take my inheritance. Okay? To take my inheritance. In Luke 15:11, again, I'm going to speak about Luke 15:11. The prodigal son. A man has two sons. Two sons. They are what? Are they children? No, they are sons. They are sons. But the youngest one said, Father, I really, really, really want to be out of here. Give me my share of the inheritance. I know that you're still alive, kind of. But for me, I don't want to be under your leadership anymore. I want to be out. Isn't that what we sometimes we do? We don't want to be under God's sovereignty, and we want to be out. We do whatever we want. This guy, he said, give me my share of inheritance and I will be out of here. His father lovingly said, okay, here it is. For me, when I studied this, I felt like, okay, some translations said that he gave him all the properties, state. Some translations says that he gave him the money, what's worth. Why I say what I said before? Because I believe, from the background that I said, he cannot give him the property. I think he gave him what's the properties, his inheritance, he gave him money. Okay? And this guy took the money and traveled to far place, and he spent it recklessly. Yes? Recklessly. Because he didn't care, you know? He just got this money and I'm going to spend it. I want to talk about three things in this story. About the money, about the properties, about the father. Okay? The money. The money is, the Bible says, it's the daily living. Okay? The daily living. As a son, I have the right to go and eat every day from my father. Well, I was talking to my brother how he raised his children. He said something very beautiful. He said, we provide all their need and they buy everything they want. I like this. Everything you need, I will buy for you. Everything you need, I will provide for you. The daily living, I will provide for you. It's God, as a father, promise that everything that we need, do we have to have daily food? Yes? Yes? Or you don't? Yes. We eat every day. Physically, we eat. Spiritually, God is promising us also to provide for our need. You have need spiritually, daily living. God wants to give you this provision. the money. The property, as I shared, this is a place. This is the place. This is the place that we come back to, as we shared. As we shared, is I don't know really the Bible in this story, if he means that the son took the property, like the contract, العقد يعني. Yeah, the contract for those properties and went and sold it. I don't know. But even if it's he lost his properties or lost his money, I don't know. But what I know is that the father is still alive. Hallelujah. The father is still alive. This is the third thing. The property is the place that you come back to. The third thing, hallelujah, is the father. Is the father. Which is the most important thing. As sons, we have father because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and what? Everlasting Father. Listen to that. If you forget anything from what I shared, I'm not going to be offended, but don't forget this. If you lose everything, use your daily living, your quiet time, your prayer, your fellowship, you lose everything. If you lose your property, your place, you instead of sitting in the presence of God, you're going to a dark places like those people in Isaiah. I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking now. Okay? Listen. If you lose your daily living, if you lose your place, you will never lose the father. Because this son, he went to far country, far, to be delivered from the father's authority. I don't want you. He lived there. He decided, I'm not going to live under your roof, under your authority. But did he lose the fatherhood? Did he lose his sonship to the father? And when he decided to come back, he said, okay, I'm going to tell him to make me live in his house, in the place, in the property, as a slave. Do you think the father agreed? No. What are you talking about? Well, I don't have slaves here. I have sons. I have sons and daughters. What about the inheritance that I lost in the far country? Don't worry about that. I'm so rich. I can give you more. Don't worry. I am still alive. Everlasting Father. Only on earth? Only during this time? No. Everlasting Father. All what you need to do is from that far place, from the darkness that we are living in, just click the switch. Click it. I said, you know what? I'm going to go back. And if you come back, you'll find the Father opening His arms to receive you. Hallelujah. Everlasting Father. Because of what Jesus did. Because of Jesus coming to us, hallelujah, we have everlasting Father. I don't know how many times, for sure you don't know, and no one knows, how many times you sinned, how many times you refused the Father, how many times you said, I don't want that, I like this dark place. And you know what? I'm going to sit there and I will be comfortable. How many times we decided that? And when we come back, Everlasting Father, opening His arms and receiving us. Hallelujah. Everlasting Father. In Psalms 2, in Psalms 2, 7, and 8. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my child. Is that right? You are my son. This is a prophecy. David prayed it, but about Jesus Christ. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations. I will give you the nations as your inheritance. As your inheritance. The end of the earth as your possessions. Inheritance. Ask of me, I will give you your inheritance. And this inheritance is all the nations. All the nations. Hallelujah. Inheritance, different culture deal with it differently. Yeah? When someone here die or pass away, whatever, they divide the inheritance in a way like, I will give my son the house and my daughter, I will give her the money in the bank, and you know, isn't that what you do here? Or legally, they go to court and divide the what's it called, the yes, I don't know. So they divide the inheritance this way. In Egypt, it's different. In Egypt, if a father dies, the boy gets double the daughter. Double. No, it is there. Don't tell me no, I inherited a father. I inherited double of my sister. I want to give her back some, but anyway, it's not my idea. Inheritance, different in different company, the different countries. This inheritance, I love it. Our inheritance in the Father, our Father, our Heavenly Father. It's not like you take love and you take forgiveness and I will leave you peace and you will take the joy. No. Our inheritance in the Father, Heavenly Father, it's all for everyone. You take the whole package, hallelujah, and you take the whole package, and you take all the package, and you, hallelujah. Peace, joy, love, acceptance, forgiveness, name it. Not only that, heaven is our inheritance. Nations is our inheritance, hallelujah. And the whole package is yours, and you know what? Thank God that God is not Egyptian. Thank God. Because boys and girls, men and women are equal. And you will receive the same thing from the Father as men and women. There is no difference between colors or nations or backgrounds. Everyone is equal and everyone will receive the same love, the same inheritance from the Father because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy that Jesus came to give us wonderful? In my father's house, what? Many? Hallelujah. Just waiting for you to make the decision that this place is yours. It's your inheritance. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the end of the earth as your possession. When I was preparing this, I remembered. I was doing a ministry called Visitation, and in this ministry, we made a plan for Sudan, and we found out there is like, I don't know, I can't remember, 85 counties and 8,000 villages, and in this this ministry, we wanted to visit everywhere and to train people to visit every village. And as I was looking to one of particular state, the state has, I don't know, three counties, I remember. And one of the counties has a name, and I didn't know that the meaning of this name. But I remembered in Egypt we have a saying. If you ask me to do something dangerous, I would say, what? Do you want me to be sent to Tokar? Which is, I didn't understand. All Egyptians say it. Huh? Hatwaddini f'Tokar. Yeah? And we don't understand what's Tokar. And when I was doing this, the visitation thing, I looked, and one of the counties of this state, the Red Sea state, his name is Tokar. I was like, oh, this is Tokar. Ah, you know what? I didn't do anything stupid or, you know, dangerous, but I want to go to Tokar. I want to go to Tokar. And I found out that Tokar is the last village in Sudan with the border with Ethiopia. So we decided to go to Tokar. And we don't know anyone. We don't know any churches. We don't know any Christians there. We know that it's an exile. It's an exile place that every criminal or people that bad reputation or anything, they send them to prison in Tokar. This is why if you do something dangerous, you say, oh, do you want me to be sent to Tokar? So as we are preparing, Friday before we travel, we're eating lunch. And I had a loaf of bread. I felt like the Lord saying, keep it with you as you're going to Tokar. I was like, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to do a communion in Tokar. I was like, okay, but I don't know any churches there. I don't know if there is churches there, no believers. How do you want me to do a communion? He said, just keep it with you. I put it in my, I always find it hard to say, backpack. Backpack. For me, it's like backpack. I don't know the difference between P and B. Backpack? So I put it in my backpack. And I went to Tokar. It was during the month of Ramadan. And we arrived at Tokar, and the streets were almost empty because everyone, we arrived during the breakfast. Everyone is eating breakfast in their homes, and we find anyone. So finally, we went and little shop. We asked them, is there any churches here? They said, no, we don't know. Ask this boy. And this boy is coming. What's your name? His name, he said, my name is Daniel. Ha, hallelujah. Daniel means Christian. So, hi, Daniel, how are you doing? Is there any churches, Daniel, here? He said, ask my mom. She's coming there. I was like, okay. Is there any churches here? I said, yeah, there's a church, but it's closed since last Christmas. And no one worship, no pastor, no one. I was like, okay, is there a Christian here? I said, no, it's most of them, they do local alcohol. Then they bad jobs for Christians. Yeah. So we said, okay, you know what? We will open the church. It's a building. It's just a little house. We will open the church for prayer today, and tomorrow we will have a church on Sunday. And she said, okay, I'll tell everyone. First day, 9 people came. And next day, Sunday, 21 people came to the church. And you know what? I got the loaf of bread. And we had a communion there. People receive Jesus Christ. Amen? People receive Jesus Christ in Tokar. In Tokar. In the last village. In the end of the border of Sudan. Jesus, not only for Los Angeles, not only for America. It's His inheritance and yours too, to the end of the earth. Amen? There's some people there are sitting in the darkness. There are some people there dwelling under the shadow of death. You need to take your loaf of bread and go there because they are waiting for you. You know what? When we did that, 21 people came. I don't know. I can't remember. I want to be honest. I don't know how many people came forward to pray, to give life to Jesus. I can't remember. But what I remember very well, Nadia. Nadia, one of the ladies, she was really touched. And she wanted to have Bible to start reading. And she gave her the Bible. And not only that, when we went back to the city, we had a conference for new believers. We called her to come to the conference, and she came. She came, and she went back, and now she opened the church. Hallelujah! Since Christmas, no one went to them. It's like we did that maybe in August. 8 months, no one touched them. They go do the Christmas celebration, and they leave. And that's it. This is Christianity in this place. Christmas, only Christmas Day. We call it, we renew our Christian license. They come to church. They come to church Christmas Day. They celebrate. We're Christians. And they go back to their dark places. Really, really. They do alcohol and they work in prostitutions. That's it. This is their life. But this is the inheritance. The nations are our Jesus' inheritance. And as sons and daughters, we have inheritance in that. Amen? I just want to encourage each one. Even if you cannot go, you can pray. You can pray for those people. You can pray for the end of the earth. Amen? Psalm 16, I will end with this. Psalm 16:6. The Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. As the sons and daughters, because of Jesus Christ came to us, we have a delightful inheritance. I like it when he says, that the song says, that my border lines came to me into a goodly or pleasant place. Hallelujah. حبالٌ وقعت لي في النعماء. Yes. Which means when they came to the promised land, they started to divide the land for every tribe. And they say like this piece of land, now we're going to see which tribe are going to take it. Okay? And they make a lot. They cast a lot. And they say, oh, this for Philip's family, this for Solomon's family, Bascarones, and so, and so, and so. David said, my lot, my inheritance came in the best place. Hallelujah. Our inheritance is Jesus in a delightful place. Delightful place. Peace, place that has peace, love, joy. Amen? This is your inheritance from the Lord because of Jesus Christ. He is wonderful counselor. mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. You can turn, Lord, I thank you, can turn the darkest day of my life into light, into shining, into great light. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning that you brought us here to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for coming to us, rescuing us from our darkness, from the shadow of death. Even we were sitting and relaxed in it. Lord, I thank you that we have a great inheritance in you, Lord. We have peace, joy, love, forgiveness, righteousness. We have place in heaven. We have everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord, that even though we lost everything in ourselves, but we didn't lose you because you are our everlasting Father. Your love is endless. Your love have no boundaries, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each one of us to have this revelation by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you love us so much, that you love us so much as a Heavenly Father. We worship you, Lord.